Yo, what's going on? It's Wednesday, October 23rd. I'm Jeff, allegedly. And this is the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. How about that? I got a few things to talk about today. Obviously, I want to get into this DeAndre Hopkins trade and a few other things from around the NFL, highlighting how we're handling things for rankings purposes for this week. Of course, rankings are updated and ready to go over at FTNFantasy.com. Go check it out. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off. I don't know what you're waiting for, man. We got you covered. And the beauty is if you subscribe now, you get it through this time next year. So you don't even have to worry like, oh, what site do I subscribe to for fantasy draft? No, you're already subscribed to the best site. I mean, I'm a little selfish here. I'm a little biased, but you're already subscribed to the best site. Come on. Go check it out. FTNFantasy.com. Let's talk about DeAndre Hopkins. So if you're anything like me, you awoke to the news. Well, actually, I was awake, but then I was making my daughter's lunch and the news of DeAndre Hopkins being traded to the Kansas City Chiefs in exchange for a conditional fourth round draft pick on the Kansas City side. First and foremost, like Juju Smith-Schuster is droppable for me. Now, how I determine that, and I may not be you, is I look at my roster and I say, will this dude ever start for me? And first and foremost, the expectation is not just this week. It is a multi-week absence. Let's put this into context. Juju was declared out at the beginning of the week. Before any practices, before anything. That is bad. Bad, bad, bad. That is bad. Like, he may not end up on IR. That's fine. But he's not going to be around for a little while here. So I think we could just write him off. Hopkins steps into a very thin depth chart. And we do actually have some indication that he's going to play this week. I don't know how much. I don't think it's going to be a Davante Adams. He just plays the entire game. But he could. I mean, that could very well happen. He has the entire week to get up to speed, and it's not like he's some rookie who's never seen an NFL playbook before. He's very likely a future Hall of Famer. I know there's some debate with anybody, but he's had a hell of a career. Let's put it that way. He's a savvy veteran who's going to step right in. At the bare minimum, we'll see at least an Amari Cooper workload for him. That doesn't mean he's going to score a touchdown in his first reception, although I wouldn't put it past him. But at the very least, we're going to see that type of workload for him in this offense immediately. So we're talking immediate flex value, and then we'll take it from there because there's nobody else who's going to catch the ball. I mean, if Juju is sidelined, maybe it's Justin Watson opposite DeAndre Hopkins, but I do expect the team to just run a lot of 12 personnel. So two tight ends on the field, Noah Gray is going to be involved, not to the point where he's fantasy relevant, but he's going to be involved. So in those instances, it's going to be Hopkins and Worthy or Hopkins and Hardman potentially, because Hardman does a lot of same things as Worthy. Although Worthy is ahead of Hardman, but they're going to rotate that around. Ideally, though, Hopkins never leaves the field once he's fully integrated, and that could happen as early as next week, right? Not worried on that front. What do we get out of Hopkins at this point in his career? Because he's not the version he was when he was with the Texans or even to a lesser extent with the Cardinals. But he still has, like, this isn't AJ Green at the end of his career. He still has some juice. And probably the most important thing, one of the things that Hopkins has been very good at over the course of his career is playing above the rim, is playing in contested situations, and you can especially do that when you're in the red area of the field. Patrick Mahomes doesn't really have an end zone target outside of Travis Kelce, and everybody knows that Travis Kelce is the end zone target. Well, now he does. He didn't have that before. Now he does. What has been the number one problem for Mahomes this year? Because I don't think he's been that bad. Yeah, the interceptions are a little higher. I don't care about interceptions unless we get into like Jameis Winston territory, which we'll talk about Jameis. I don't care about interceptions. So he hasn't thrown touchdowns. That's it. And now we have a guy who can at least help him on that front. They are still going to lean on the run. You know, I don't love Kareem Hunt, but they're going to lean on the run. They're going to lean on Kareem Hunt in the short term. And then when they get Pacheco back, they'll lean on Pacheco. This is what they do. They're going to use their defense to win games. But now they at least have a little bit more in the passing game. So at the very least, I would say wide receiver three out of Hopkins, but probably more like a wide receiver two if everything shakes out the right way. Now, I know a lot of people have said, well, he is on waivers. He was dropped last night, which is great. I mean, that's classic right there, isn't it? So he's on waivers, and how much would you bid? I think it's a 10 to 20. I don't think it's anything more than that. I don't think DeAndre Hopkins is going to win your league. Like, if he went there when he was whatever, like we're talking like peak era, 27, 28-year-old DeAndre Hopkins, then sure, that's a difference maker. He is not that now, but he can still be a factor. So 10 to 20% is fair. Somebody in your league wants to spend 80% on him, let him. That's a mistake. I am never going to not let my opponents make a mistake. Just fine. I don't have to have him. Now, it'd be nice, especially if I'm a little thin at wide receiver, if I could pad the coffers a little bit, but I don't have to have him. So Worthy's value really doesn't change. Hopkins obviously gets a major boost. I don't think this changes things for Travis Kelce, and it helps Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes was almost like, can we really even consider starting this guy in one quarterback leagues, to now, okay, he's at least a back-end quarterback one with room to grow, you know, and that's good if you have Patrick Mahomes. Now, again, I want to just keep driving this point home. Maybe you want to reconsider your quarterback draft strategy next year if it isn't a keeper league, but I digress. I can only bang that drum so loud. On the other side, I guess Calvin Ridley, but I mean, do we really want to trust anything in that passing game? And this seems to be Tennessee throwing in the towel already. They're like that guy or gal in our keeper leagues who are sitting there and they're 2-5 and their season is over, even though it really isn't, but they think it is. And then they just start trading all their assets away. That looks like Tennessee. And I can't blame them, honestly. If that's the system, it gets rewarded. You know, you're the worst team, you get rewarded with the best picks, then fine. You need a quarterback because Will Levis is not your quarterback. We figured this one out. It's pretty apparent. The only thing I really like there is Tony Pollard as of right now. Now, that could change. But if I have Calvin Ridley, let's see it through. If I don't have Calvin Ridley, not a buy low opportunity. Definitely not. All right, let's move over to Jameis Winston. He's going to start for the Browns. And, well, we don't know the extent of Dorian Thompson-Robinson's finger injury. We know the x-rays were negative. But honestly, I think Jameis gives them a better shot anyway. Ken Dorsey's going to take over play calling as well. So it's a bit of a mess. Maybe this is Stefanski trying to save his job. I don't know. I mean, it's been a raw deal there, but then there's also been bad decisions. Let's face it. So what do we know about Jameis Winston? He is going to throw the ball, and that is a good thing and a bad thing. Like, he's not going to check down. That's a good thing, but he's also going to throw into bad situations, and he's going to have turnovers, etc. But he's going to throw the ball. So if anything, that helps David Njoku. It helps Jerry Jeudy to a lesser extent, Cedric Tillman, et cetera, to a lesser extent. But it's not terrible. Now, we know Jameis Winston, though. This is not an unknown. This is not an unproven commodity. We know what he is. And I think that should be very clear to people in one quarterback leagues that he's not viable there right now. Now, again, anything and everything is subject to change in fantasy football, but he's not viable there right now. He's only viable in Superflex. And right now as well, I'm only ranking him as QB 28. So not usable right now, but things can change. I mean, things change quickly in fantasy football. So if you picked him up in Superflex, not a bad idea whatsoever. Obviously, things are just going to be weird in Cleveland for right now. But, you know, David Njoku certainly benefits from having a guy who could throw the ball around the yard a little bit. Let's move over to the Rams. So Cooper Kupp, full participant. There are rumors circulating that he is on the trade block. The rumors say the Rams want a second-round pick. They're not getting a second-round pick for Cooper Kupp. He's too old for that. They will have to take on some of his salary as well, but that could happen. Now, obviously, one of the teams that people were pointing to for Cooper Kupp to potentially go to was the Kansas City Chiefs. That's not going to happen. If I was to run through, because it really would only be a playoff contending team who is going to make this move if they think that this helps them get to the, you know, get up over the hump, potentially even make a push to the Super Bowl, then they do it. In the AFC East, the Bills are the only really viable contender right now. Again, things can change, but you have two win teams in the Dolphins and Jets, and the Patriots have one win, but the Bills already made their move, so they're out. I don't see Baltimore doing it. I could see Pittsburgh doing it, however. That would be weird. Cooper Kupp in a Pittsburgh Steelers uniform, but actually him and Russ together would be moderately intriguing. So let's call Pittsburgh a maybe. I don't see Houston doing it. I don't really see Indy doing it. And who knows if Indy fades. I obviously don't see Kansas City doing it any longer. Denver's in the playoff hunt, oddly enough, but I don't know. I don't see them making trades right now. So on the AFC side, the only team that really would make sense would be the Pittsburgh Steelers. Over to the other side, Washington and Philly, actually probably don't see either of them making that move. Detroit, probably not. I mean, you have the new Cooper Kupp in Amon-Ra. Minnesota, unlikely. Green Bay, definitely not. Chicago, unlikely because you have Keenan Allen. Atlanta, probably not. Tampa, maybe. Tampa's a strong maybe, though they did say they're not looking to address the position via trade, but who knows? That would be kind of fun, too, with Baker Mayfield. And but then you kind of create a little bit of a long-term headache. So I don't know. That's a maybe. Seattle, no. San Francisco, it would be a yes, but do the Rams actually trade in their division? So there aren't a ton of teams that make a lot of sense right now. Either way, I don't think it impacts us because one way or the other, we're gonna be using him. I have him ranked inside the top 20 right now. He may not play a full workload, may not have a full workload, but he still is going to do more than enough to be a wide receiver too. Puka Nacua designated to return. I don't expect him this week. He was limited yesterday. And usually if guys go limited when they come back from injured reserve, PUP, NFI, then they're probably not going to play. Like we've seen this, we saw it with TJ Hockenson last week, limited straight through the week. They're not going to play. So don't expect Nacua this week, maybe next week. Moving over to the 49ers. Okay, so Deebo Samuel released from the hospital, but we don't have an official timetable on him right now, whether or not he's going to play this week. That one is up in the air, and I have no lean one way or the other. And honestly, I know other people may be willing to do it. I'm not willing to speculate. I don't want to mislead you by speculating because I have no clue. Now, if all goes as it's planned, Juwan Jennings gets back out there. He's more of a wide receiver two type. I'm hedging my ranking right now. I'm at 34, but that is throttling him back. If he's good to go, he'll be a wide receiver two. Now, Kittle is banged up with a foot issue. He's being called day to day, but their bye week is next week. So you never can tell with the bye week coming up whether or not these guys play through it or if they give them that rest. And that's the other thing with Deebo Samuel. Is there anybody else that we can use this week? I mean, Pearsall's pushing it, maybe a sort of desperation flex, but that's it. And we're still awaiting Christian McCaffrey. Like if you have Jordan Mason and you don't have Christian McCaffrey, this would be the time to try and trade him away. Mike Evans going to be out very likely through to week 12. So you're going to be without Mike Evans for 4 weeks. Chris Godwin, it's season ending, right? So the primary beneficiary is Kate Otten. He may go from being a streamer to an every week starter. We'll see. Obviously, he's coming off a big game last week, but the key with tight end is you have to do it in back-to-back weeks. From there, Jalen McMillan is the next most interesting because his role isn't going to change when Mike Evans comes back. That's the thing about Trey Palmer. Like Trey Palmer is going to play the Mike Evans role. Like obviously he's not Mike Evans, but that's where he's going to occupy until Evans comes back. So he has value for the next three games, but McMillan should have value going forward. People asking about Sterling Shepard. I'm not in on Sterling Shepard. I don't like older players at wide receiver who don't give you upside at this time of year. So I'm fading him and I'm going with the two younger guys. Could end up being a mistake, but that's my rationale for it. I don't think this changes the outlook in the backfield. Rashad White is still the lead back. He's going to catch the ball to the backfield. Bucky Irving's a little bit better between the tackles as an early down runner. So he'll do that. And then Sean Tucker is just the number three guy. So that's kind of where we sit with all that. Chris Olave could be back this week, so we'll keep an eye on him as he works his way through protocol. I don't have a Wednesday report, but the key is he has to get to limited by tomorrow. If he doesn't get to limited by tomorrow, would not expect him to play. Finally, the Washington Commanders. So Jaden Daniels didn't practice today. There was a report from Ian Rappaport that he is very doubtful to play this week. So people keep acting like there's a chance. I don't think there's a chance at all that he plays. And I think that's fine for Washington's sake, because as I just mentioned, like they're a team in contention for the postseason. If you need to rest him for a week and you have Marcus Mariota, it's not like you have Ben DiNucci. Like just rest him for a week and toss Mariota out there. It's a tough matchup. It's against the Bears, but toss him out there. You know, no big deal there. So I still do not expect him to play. If you have Daniels and you want to risk it, fine, risk it. If you don't believe me, cool, don't believe me. I would have a plan in place regardless, though. You know, that's it's pretty important. Hope for the best, but plan for the worst. All right, that's going to do it for today. Like I said, all the rankings are updated over at ftnfantasy.com, including DeAndre Hopkins. We're going to go through the week. Like, I'm technically ranking him in the flex territory right now, but we're going to go through the week and hear what we hear. Maybe we move him up to wide receiver three territory. We'll see. But all the latest information will be reflected in my rankings, ftnfantasy.com. Follow along with me on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe, on Instagram, at Jeff Ratcliffe. And I'll be back next week on this feed. But remember, I have my own feed as well, The Rant with Jeff Ratcliffe. That's me. Duh. And you should subscribe to that, rate, review this podcast, rate, review that podcast, and keep rolling here. In the meantime, you will get Mike Randall on Monday morning recapping the action from Sunday. So just keep your eyes peeled for that. All right, I'll catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.